If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now we're going to go to the phones, and we have with us Peng Tao, Dr. Peng Tao. He's the assistant professor of the Department of Chemistry, the Center for Drug Discovery and Design and Delivery, the Center for Scientific Computation at Southern Methodist University. Welcome to the program, Dr. Tao.
Thank you very much.
And you're going to be making a presentation at MetriCon, which is going on the 26th of October. More on MetriCon at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link which will tell you all about MetriCon. In the meantime, Dr. Tao is going to give us kind of a preview of what you're going to be discussing. You're going to be talking about artificial intelligence in computational chemistry. Computational chemistry. And you give a question. You say, hope or hype? Could you give us kind of a preview of what we're going to expect to hear from you at the conference?
So in the conference, I will briefly introduce what the computational chemistry is, and that will be the main focus of my research at SMU. And then I will introduce our recent effort to apply machine learning, especially the artificial intelligence, in computational chemistry. Because we are in the early start, we still don't know how much artificial intelligence could do for us. So therefore, I put the title as the hope or hype. But I hope it is a hope, not the hype.
So computational chemistry is really using artificial intelligence in computing chemical.
So by itself, the computational chemistry does not use artificial intelligence per se. And the computational chemistry has a long history by itself, but now because we have so many information accumulated, we really need a very effective and smart way to process the data we have and try to gain deeper insight or even some new knowledge in this field. And artificial intelligence could be such an opportunity we're waiting for.
Well, this is kind of all over the board with me, Dr. Tao. It's hard for me to understand, but you mentioned something about quantum mechanics and molecular mechanics in computational intelligence. Are these two different branches of computational chemistry developed into their current stage?
Yes. So let me give a very brief introduction about the computational chemistry and the two branches in it before we're talking about the artificial intelligence. So computational chemistry is certainly just a branch of the chemistry that uses computer simulation to assist in solving chemical problems. Essentially, we can simulate many protein chemical processes, such as chemical reactions and molecular interactions, on supercomputers to predict many properties of these processes. So by using this, we can do a lot of the prediction and the evaluation of the properties of materials and reactions before actually carrying out the wet lab experiment.
Do we presume that you're working at the nanotechnology level? Is that correct?
So even smaller than that, nanotechnology means the scale of the material. But we're essentially looking at the atoms, molecules, and the biomolecules in my special interest, like proteins, that is in a nano level, but we don't certainly consider this as a nanotechnology.
Are you working with the human genome in this and manipulating and editing the genome?
Okay, so I'm interested in the proteins. So protein genome is actually the whole gene sequence of the entire human being. And what's the purpose of the gene, for most of the part, is actually coding a protein. So we know that the purpose of the gene is actually use the biological system, use the gene as a template to synthesize the protein, and the protein molecule fold into the specific structures and function like the molecular machine to carry out the actual functions.
Okay, so proteins are actually where you're really concentrating, and is this going to be for the curing of diseases, or what is the basis and the plans for these things?
Okay, so a cure to some certain disease is certainly one of the purpose, but my research want to focus on the fundamental of these proteins. For example, if you want to fix the machine, you need to understand how the machine works before you can fix it. Now, I will prefer to understand all kinds of the machine. Actually, here it means the protein, how they worked. After we understand how they worked, whenever those machines are malfunctioning, leading to the disease, we are in a much better position to fix those, actually curing the disease by dealing with these proteins.
So machine learning is an important part of your research. And what are you going to? What's the essence of the presentation that you're going to make? What do you want? What do you want the takeaway to be by those of us who are listening to what you have to say?
Okay, from the presentation, I want to give the sort of the introduction about the modern computational chemistry and the a potential usage of the artificial intelligence or machine learning in this field. Basically speaking, actually, still nowadays, this year, right now, the computational chemistry is not a natural way to apply the deep learning or machine learning method in this field. It's just started in the past year or so. So I'm actually among the group, several groups in this nation, try to develop the new method of using machine learning and artificial intelligence to help us to do better job in computational chemistry.
So this is totally new ground you're breaking. We haven't been here before, and this is new stuff. Is that right?
Exactly.
So what are some of the other research projects that you're using machine learning in?
So do you mean in other machine learning in chemistry or in other area?
Well, you tell me. You're the expert in this. I'm just get to ask all the dumb questions on this program.
Okay, so if you just talk about the machine learning and artificial intelligence, you can easily think of, okay, self-driving car. The car can drive itself safely. Of course, we need a very intelligent machine or computers to drive those cars. So that's the most important application nowadays. And another amazing thing to me is that in the past year or so, for twice, the AlphaGo from Google company that beat the professional Go players. That's actually blown up my mind, because I wouldn't think that would happen in my lifetime. So actually, that actually caught my attention. I'm thinking that the Go game is so hard, a machine can play the best player in the world. I think machine can certainly help help chemists to do their job better, because chemistry is much easier than Go game in my mind.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm a Go player, but a very preliminary Go player myself.
Okay, I see. Well, you've been educated at Peking University in China, and I guess I need to ask, what country in the world is taking the lead in your field? Or did you come to America because you think the United States is the place to take the lead, or are you working with other countries too, like the European Union, or maybe Germany and Taiwan and mainland China?
So currently, the United States is certainly leading the way of computational chemistry of the whole world. Because in the past 100 years of the history of the Nobel Prize, only two times the Nobel Prize was rewarded to computational chemistry. One is 1998, one is 2013. And all five Nobel laureates in this two-time award are in America.
Well, give us a look into the future. This is a new ground you're breaking, and it's going to be very exciting to hear what you have to tell us at the Metricon Conference on the 26th of October. And again, remind our listeners that if they want to know more about Metricon, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link. But what do you see in the future? Where is this going? Where is this going to lead us the next 5, 10, 15, or more years?
So the future is very exciting and attractive, because in the past 100, 200 years of chemistry, essentially our chemists learn the basic concept of the atoms and the molecule and the chemical bonds, and learn how they form together. And whenever we try to design a new material, we just use our intuitive. saying, okay, if we want to make this molecule more this way, I should add a chemical group or atoms in this direction. That's my work or not, I don't know. I just think about the way like this and test out, and make the molecule and test it. This, you can see, is very time-consuming and very expensive. And that's one of the reasons why the computational chemistry becomes so valuable in nowadays chemistry. But think about this. We nowadays we know about 100 million compounds as a human being. But there's no one that can remember all of those, and combining the knowledge of those compounds and making into the design of new materials. So even with the current computer system, it's not feasible to do that. However, the artificial intelligence certainly will change the game here by going through all of the data, because it can process information very effectively and combining all the compounds and the information and the property together to make the best bet. If you want to design a molecule for any specific purpose, the artificial intelligence can give you numbers of the best bet it can give you, and I can bet you that it'll be much better than any chemist that can do nowadays.
Yeah, the late Terry Pratchett said that human stupidity is more than a match for artificial intelligence. So how do you see machine learning and artificial intelligence? Does it go hand in hand with human intelligence, or is it going to eventually replace us?
Definitely the hand in hand. There's no way I think the artificial intelligence will replace human being. So if you have heard of the IBM Watson, so IBM Watson is kind of the AI system to help with the cancer diagnosis. So there's many cases Watson can give the best diagnosis in like a minute or so, that the many other very experienced computer, very experienced doctor couldn't think of. But once the Watson system provides a diagnosis, it is still down to the doctor to make the final decision which is the most appropriate. Mm-hmm. It just gives more educational or best ground to work with. The same thing with the artificial intelligence and chemistry. If we want to design a new drug, right? So we can think of whatever the molecule the drug developer can think of and test it. But it will be much better if the artificial intelligence could give us a much better guess to where to go. Comparing to screening tens of thousand compounds blindly, we can use AI to screen into like a 10 or 100 of the best bad compounds to start with. That will certainly cut the cost of the development and increase the successful rate.
Yeah, that's fascinating look, Dr. Tao. Now, getting back to you were educated at Peking University in Beijing, China. Now, why is the university called Peking University? Well, that's the old colonial name, and we now know to not call the city of Beijing Peking, as we did for years and years and years and years and years. How's it happened as Peking University in Beijing, China?
Because back then, Beijing was named as Peking, so that's why Peking University has its name. But you know, the Chinese people like history. Right, they like stick with the history as long as we can. So therefore, the university decided to stick with the traditional name, Peking University, compared to Beijing University.
Yeah, you've got plenty of history, 5,000 years of it. Pretty hard for us here in the United States with 200 years of it to fathom 500 years of history. So I know you do love your history and, of course, tradition, I guess. So holding on to the name of Peking University seemed a natural thing to do.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you get back once in a while and see family and friends in mainland China?
Yes, I just visited China last year, and I gave the talk about my research at SMU in Peking University.
Oh, that's fascinating. Now, I understand that Taiwan and the mainland continue to increase their relationship, and there's regular air flights between the two countries and a lot of friendliness there too. Do you do anything with Taiwan, or can you give us some insights there?
So I haven't been able to visit Taiwan myself, but I'm very glad to see that the communication between mainland China and Taiwan is much stronger in the past several years, especially the science and the technology. I heard of that many students from Peking University, they can get funding from government to support their trip to Taiwan to visit and to learn and to carry some research over there.
Yeah, that's fascinating thing. A fascinating thing when the mainland took over Hong Kong and Macau and some of the other real what we might call Western influenced and progressive societies, and the mainland seems to be coalescing with this and kind of interfacing with these ideas in a positive way, as they're doing now with Taiwan.
So it's very positive to Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan, because all of these places are bound much tighter in many sense, like culturally and economically and scientifically. So there's a lot of the support and the fundings from mainland China, certainly to Hong Kong and Macau. I would guess with no direct support from mainland China to development in Taiwan, but you can, as I said before, the communication is much stronger. There's many visitors from mainland China are supported by the government to communicate and work together with Taiwan in many perspectives.
Wow, that's really fascinating. It's been so much fun for me to see it. I've been a reporter now for over 50 years, and it's been interesting to see how our relationships with the mainland have progressed. Well, Dr. Tao, what have I missed? What have I not asked you? What sort of point do you want to drive home that we haven't covered here yet today?
So if, you know, the only one message I want to give to the listener, that the take-home message from my talk or from this interview, that I want to let people know that the computers are helping scientists to simulate the real-world chemistry. So now we as a chemist are able to design and test molecules for many purposes before actually making them in a test tube.
Okay. Well, Dr. Peng Tao, I know you've been mentored in your earlier years by all your instructors and in China, and we know that China is loaded with wisdom and the Confucian followers and that sort of thing, but now I know that you mentor students. So is there a creed to live by, say words to live by, that you might recommend to a younger person or to a family member or to me as an old timer or anything? How about some words to live by?
So yeah, so if for the advice, especially for the students or the young listeners, I just want them to remember most important thing is be yourself and know what you are really interested in, and don't let your heart be confused by current buzzwords like the artificial intelligence, machine learning, startup, internet. So remember, it is much cooler to create a buzzword from your own work than just chasing the existing ones.
Okay. Dr. Peng Tao, Assistant Professor, Department of Chemistry, Center for Drug Discovery, Design, and Delivery, and the Center for Science Computation at Southern Methodist University. We'll be speaking at the MetroCon Conference, October 26, this year, on Artificial Intelligence and Computational Chemistry, Hope or Hype. Going to have some extremely interesting things to say about that. You can check at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to the MetroCon conference. Dr. Tao, thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us today. It is so appreciated.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz.